chairperson and colleagues. I think there wasn't really much from the public entities except a reflection which was made on the AGSA's report on fruitless expenditure, irregular expenditure, as it relates to the PMPE, Agrima South Africa, and the CIDB. As I indicated, that the CEOs are here to ensure that they deal with these matters in this financial year in terms of developing an action plan. I think we will be monitoring that from the IGC or IGR in the department to ensure that the public entities comply with the action plan or audit action plan that will respond to the issues that have been raised. There was the second one was on the, obviously this also includes the errors on the financial statements. Honorable Hickling did indicate that those errors are irregular and the amounts are astronomical, and indeed we need to have internal controls that are built in to deal with these things, including overpayments and underpayments. Indeed, Honorable, we will deal with those by introducing this audit action plan that will respond to that. The last one, I think, it was on the transformation. I think the chair reflected on the transformation in the built environment. And even though the CBE has received a clean audit report, the chairperson did decry the fact that transformation is still an issue. And I think to respond to that from where I'm sitting, I have made a reference to the collaborative forums that are seeking to address this specific issue with the other issues as well. And I've reflected that there have been meetings that have taken place in the past and even in this financial year. Just that COVID-19 also came with its own challenges, but there were meetings and we will be getting a report which will be shared with the Deputy Minister and the Minister in terms of what CBE has done in terms of these collaborative forums with the built environment professional councils. I think I'll leave it at that, unless there is something that the CEOs that are here want to add in terms of their specific public interest. Thank you.
Thank you, Moladelo. Any of the CEOs want to make a contribution?
Yes, thank you very much. Good afternoon, Chairperson, Honorable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister, and my colleagues. I think I just want to highlight on the issue that was raised in terms of our performance versus our expenditure. Perhaps I want to highlight, Chairperson, that if you look at our performance, it's unfortunate that we cannot present the partially achieved target. It's either you have achieved or not achieved. But in most of the targets that we have not achieved, I want to highlight that we have done about more than 95% of the work. The good example here is around the issue of which is in program 4, which deals with regulation. A good example is the issue of identification of work. Chairperson, we have done a lot of work. We have published the scope of work. We have engaged the Competition Commission. And thanks to the Minister and the DM, because they have also assisted us in terms of facilitating the discussions between ourselves and the Competition Commission. So that's one area, or that's one example that shows that we have done work. So what was left, Chairperson, it was just that last workshop that we had organized for the stakeholders, so that we are able to address, so that we are able to feedback, give them feedback on what we have done throughout the year. So if you look at Program 4, it touches on those workshops that we had planned to have in the month of March. So another area, Chairperson, I think it is around the issue in Program 1, it is around the issue of IT. I want to highlight that as well under IT-related matters, we've developed the system, the system there. One of the programs, I think program or target 1.3, which is talking to knowledge management platform. We have developed a system. What was missing is just the sign off by the members of the public, because when we were doing our planning, we wanted to also include the members of the public so that we are sure that they will be able to use the system. But other key role players, they were able to look into the system, they were able to contribute into the system, and we have obtained the sign off from them. And then perhaps on the last one, Chairperson, it is around of the IT ICT governance. I want to indicate that we have identified some few gaps in terms of our internal capacity. So what we have done to try and address that, we have established the IT steering committee. So in that IT steering committee, we are sourcing the help of the experts that are outside the CPE. One of them I've approached Mr. Chief, I think, who is part of this meeting, to just also see if we cannot access the IT experts from the department so that we can bounce the ideas with them, so that they can also advise us in terms of the IT governance frame or IT governance issues. So, Chairperson, we have done a lot of work. It was only a few areas where we have not been able to finalize our activities for the financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Zamaria. What to you? The CEO of the CIPB.
Yes, thank you very much. Chairperson, Mr. Deputy Minister, members of the Portfolio Committee, colleagues, thank you very much. I think I'll just touch on the issue of vacancies. There has been some challenges at CIPB in filling in the vacancies, especially the executives and senior ones. I want to assure the Chairperson that we have finally, you know, sort of agreed on the way on how we should be filling those. Two out of five executive positions are still outstanding, and we should fill those by the first quarter of next year. And then four out of 12 senior positions are outstanding. We have actually filled quite a lot this year of those, so only four are outstanding, and we should also have filled those by the end of the first quarter. The other thing which was highlighted is the transformation of contractors, especially in higher grades. Yes, there is some transformation in the lower grades. I must say that we have engaged the contractors and put plans in place and supported them in making sure that they can upgrade. But the real big challenge is access to work. You know, so we would like, you know, all infrastructure departments to make sure that the access to work is made available, especially to previously disadvantaged contractors. We have had a discussion with the department. We will be also discussing that with PISA to make sure that there is access to work. The other challenges which the contractors raise all the time is the issue of payment in time. You know, some of them argue that, you know, they don't get paid for 6 months, 12 months, and especially those who are struggling, they end up folding, let alone being able to really go up after that. So all those challenges are ongoing with all departments with whom we engage with. Now, some of the challenges, I'll also just talk about some of the challenges as well as breakthroughs which we've had. In December last year, CIPB implemented an IT system, an integrated IT system. But when it was commissioned in December, it really raised quite a lot of issues. I'm glad that many of those issues are behind us.
and those also even affected our annual financial statements when we were engaging with the AG because of those glitches in the IT system. But most of those things have been ironed out. I think one of the best things which has come out out of the implementation of their system is that many contractors now are able, well, grade one contractors have access to online registration, which has helped a lot because some people travel long distances. We are rolling out that online registration on grades 2 to 9, but it's available on the majority of contractors who are grade 1. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kamedi. Let's give Mr. Odhiambo, Jojo Odhiambo, a chance. He's from Agrima. Mr. Odhiambo coming.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, thank you for the opportunity to present today. I take note of the comments that have been made, and we will work on them as the DDG mentioned earlier, Mr. Mulatel. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister and Honorable Deputy Minister. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We've left the DDG Corporate Services for last, so you can address some of the IT questions, but mainly the issues around compensation and the filling of vacant posts. So let me hand over to Chairperson.
Thank you, DDG. And thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Let me appreciate the opportunity once again. I had the advantage of also having sat in the previous portfolio committee where these issues were equally raised as being critical. I'll just zoom in straight to the stage of the position that we were confronted with. Firstly, positions that were already advertised. There are about 262 for the PMTE and for the main board, PPWI, about 29. Now, they include all levels, from the lower level right up to the ceiling. But secondly, vacancies that are there, which have not as yet been advertised, which are still in the process of the approval, I mean, which has been channeled through the approval processes. For the PMTE, there are about 244. For DPWI, about 50. But my main focus will be more on the senior position, I think, which members also raised about the acting status in respect of that. On the vacancies, for instance, that have not been advertised for senior management, there are about 8 director positions. They range from state property development, SCM, property management, SCM in the region, Bloemfontein, CPM, there's 2 of them, projects, and HDI, and capacity building, and also 2 chief directors. That is position that has not been advertised. Now, if I zoom in to positions at the senior level, where Minister has approved panels, and where the different managers must then begin to drive the selection process of shortlisting and interview, there are about 13 directors which are currently being processed as we speak. Some have been concluded, like for example, some of the positions in finance have been concluded, the interview has been concluded, but there's others that are still outstanding, like the CT for finance, still needs to be concluded, the process. So there are about 13 directors, the 7 CTs, chief directors. Those are in the process of being concluded. For instance, last week the CDFM had concluded the shortlisting for the FMCT, and on Friday the PMO, acting PMO, had also concluded shortlisting for the regional manager Cape Town and Intada, just as an example. So there are about 13 directors and 7 CDs. Coming to the DDG. The DDG, I want to start with one which, in a sense, are occupied by 1%, 2 positions. That position is related to rents. the DDG FM is actually appointed as DDG REM, but reassigned by the previous political principal to FM. So that matter is still being looked into by minister. Once it is resolved, it will then release one of those two positions to be vacant. So which then leaves the balance being within the PMTE and the SCM position, which did go through the recruitment processes. Unfortunately, part of it is that with the DPWP1 and the policy one, the process did go through, and as we reported previously, there were some issues between ourselves and the TPSA. Minister had started engaging with the Minister of Public Safety and Administration on that matter, insofar as the senior management positions are concerned. Now, I've also shared with the portfolio committee that the department had concluded a recruitment plan that covers all these numbers that I've spoken about for us to be able to drive the recruitment process. And as we had adopted that recruitment process, I think one of the things that we need to do is to begin to provide a detailed report for the portfolio committee so that these details that I'm sharing can be in the form of a report that members can be able to look into. And from a monitoring point of view, we can be able to track where we're going with our recruitment process. That is the first one. But secondly, even the recruitment document that we're using in this regard, I think it's one information that we need to share with the portfolio committee for their own monitoring as well, to see progress that is being made. Between now and the end of the financial year, we will have concluded the ones that I referred to that have already had their panels approved by minister, which the process, as we speak, is currently taking place. The process is already happening as we speak. So between now and the end of the financial year, we'll have appointments in place in that regard. Where there might be a slight date would be those that I've mentioned as not as yet been advertised, the 244 ones and the 51. Because the process of securing the necessary approval is still currently underway, and the minister has made it very clear that we're not going to go on a willy-nilly, reckless recruitment process, but we need to be sure that the positions that we want to fill, especially the senior level, are critical, and definitely they will make an impact insofar as filling of this position is concerned. That is the one part of the fourth position. The other part related to the implementation of the ERP system, the ICT system. And the minister already has indicated that the measure that she has put into place is to ensure that there is monthly monitoring of the implementation of that process. We're at a stage where we've gone on trying to source a new service provider to take the process forward. But unfortunately, when we use the CETA list of service providers to be able to get one to be able to take the process forward, we could not find any suitable service provider. Only two responded. And hence now we had gone out on an open tender, and we then have a service provider in place by the end of this month, November 2020, and the work will then start. The priority in that regard is that on the ICT system site for the immovable asset register, 99% of work has been completed. As we speak now, the immovable asset register is now live on Atibas. So all that needs to do is to tie up the remaining work, and that can be concluded at the end of the financial year. But what is critical, minister is interested in us adding other enhancements and digitalization of the immovable asset register. And the immovable asset register team is currently looking that and supported by the ICT team in order to be able to see what further enhancement can we ensure we put into place in taking the immovable asset register forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, before I conclude with the outstanding questions, I'd like to give an opportunity to Mr. Bosana Kubeta to talk about the functional economy. You've got 3 minutes for that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Please, Acting DG, I'm worried. Our meeting was supposed to end at 12, then we were given an hour, and we're supposed to end at 1 now, and the time is against us. Please, thank you.
Thank you, Acting DG, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, and the DM of Police. Just on the oceans economy and the small harbors, we just want to share with the committee that over and above the 12 proclaimed fishing harbour in the Western Cape, we also have nodal development areas. And in the Northern Cape, there were 3, which include Port Nollot, on the Clain Bay, and Clain Zee. In the Eastern Cape, it was Port St. John's, Coffee Bay, Bizana, Cowie River Mouth, and Port Rosvena. In KZN, it was Port Edward, Shelly Beach, Margate, Ibadin, and Port Jefferson. So as part of the phased approach for the new harbors, in the Northern Cape, we've identified Port Nollot, in the Eastern Cape, Port St. John's, and in KwaZulu-Natal, Port Edward. Just to say that in the Eastern Cape, the Port St. John's feasibility studies were done as part of the Special Economic Development Framework. With the assistance of the Department of Transport, the Municipality, and the Department of Environment Affairs. So we are at an advanced stage on the implementation on the prep work. We pitched on the 4th of November as part of the infrastructure development process to the funders, and we've already had some few multilateral banks that are interested in the funding of some of the prep work in some of these harbors. But in the next phase, which will be phase 2 and phase 3, we will then look into the other areas that I've mentioned. So we maybe in the next presentation to the portfolio committee, Chairperson, we can then provide a detailed plan as well as what we have been doing in the, some of these proclaimed fishing harbors. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Just to conclude the outstanding question, Chairperson, I just want to mention that with respect to quarantine sites, we conducted an immediate follow-up when we were made aware of the audit finding, and we haven't found any duplicate payments. I believe that we need to engage the Office of the AEG to prove that there have been understanding, but we don't believe we have duplicate payments. So far, the evidence is concerned, has been provided to me, and we'll follow through after this meeting. Secondly, with respect to state funerals, Chairperson, the initiative currently is that we are developing norms and standards that include a cap in certain areas together with the Office of the Presidency as well as other stakeholders such as DOD that provide some of the services related to state funerals. Then, Chair, moving on to Bay Bridge, there were questions about recovery. I can confirm that there are 13 disciplinary proceedings currently underway, 11 in the department, under the auspices of the accounting officer, and 2 being administered by the minister. In this respect, there are also several proceedings. Today, in fact, the SIU is bringing papers before the tribunal to recover the expenditures paid under the contract and the 18.5 million losses that were referred to by the AG in the material irregularity report. The SIU is bringing proceedings before the tribunal today, in fact. So the base breach is being dealt with in that way, and the courts will then take care of it going forward. With respect to the issue of restriction for blacklisting, as some of the colleagues referred to it, we have a restriction committee currently operating in the department. It's a new initiative to formalize our strategy and approach to dealing with companies in default in any way whatsoever, or deal with the organization in any manner that is irregular. And it is working, and we need to review the manner in which it works because of the slow pace at which it's achieving results. We have found that the restriction committee is now confronting legal firms on the outside and being scared into not doing its work. So we need to find strategies to facilitate this particular function and ensure that it achieves its goals as intended. Moving on to consequence management, Chairperson, to support the Minister within the Department, we have now had about 20 warnings and disciplinary proceedings initiated in the last 2 months, and they range from serious misdemeanor under the State Criminal Investigation or the Basis Investigation, but also to the more mundane issues like responding to parliamentary questions after the due date, not delivering or responding to the client complaints. So we're seeking to enforce consequence management in the Department and to deal with issues of commitment and obligation in a more serious manner. Going forward, Chairperson, we'll have to take cognizance of the need to develop a clean audit plan, and this is what we'll be doing closely with the Office of the AG to improve our audit outcome. And come March next year, we have a different outcome to report to the Portfolio Committee, and we deal with some of those challenges, especially those around assets and leases, and not forgetting EPWP, which is a broader challenge that relates to the entire focus of public bodies. So we need to take that into account, but the clean audit plan is certainly an important outcome of this process. Then, going forward, Chairperson, the Minister touched on the effects of change management. We have now fallen behind the leadership of the Deputy Minister to develop a change management plan, and starting immediately, we are conducting a diagnostic of the morale and the organizational culture issues within the department, given the fact that we've had many challenges which emanate from human issues and issues that are prevalent within the organizational culture. The diagnostic is something that will take place, will at least take place early in the new year, and the diagnostic is intended to then inform our change management strategy going forward so that we have a sustainable approach to some of the challenges we face. Chairperson, I think we've answered all the questions. I'll hand to the Deputy Minister and Minister to then conclude. Thank you very much, Chair.
Deputy Minister, only 2 minutes.
No, Chair. I want to raise your Chair. Please, I'm covered. Thank you.
Okay. Minister did respond earlier on.
Yes, I did respond, Chairperson, and just wanted to say to the Honourable Members, give us a six months to a year, and we hope to change the situation completely around with the help of the Auditor General. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. Deputy Minister, Acting DG, and all the DDGs and CEOs, persons of the, for their responses and the presentations. The time is really against us, Honourable Members. So on that note, I won't be allowing you to come for a second round. Apologies and sincere apologies for that. But firstly, I would like to really appreciate the Office of the AG for giving us a comprehensive, frank, detailed report that has shown us the weaknesses in the department and especially the PMTE. Then, Minister, I think your closing off remarks that says that we must give you 6 months so that you correct what the Auditor General has said. It is really upon you, the Minister, as the head of the department and the executive, including the DM, with the acting DG and all the DGs, to work on what the AG has shown so that you improve on your audit outcomes, especially in the PMT and the other three entities that have managed with the excluding the IDT, because as you all know that the IDT, its audit has not been finalized. But other than that, Minister, I think there are many issues that have been raised here, which at least we need more information on them. The issue of telecom towers, we visited that area, and at the time we visited, it was about to be finished. In fact, even if you can go there, it has minor, issues. What has started to be done, and now the contract has been extended to another year. I think we need a detailed report on that one, because if that tower can be finished, it can save a lot of money for the department. Two, the issue of the consequent management on the officials that you mentioned, saying that the, I don't know, executive or internal, whatever, that are doing the double payment or the payment on the leases, that one, it needs to be acted upon. That corruption, there is no other word for that, it's just corruption. You need to work on that, Minister. You said you're going to clean corruption in the department, so you need to work on that. You can only strengthen this department, Minister, by ensuring that the public will work. The public work deals comes to its final conclusion. We're not talking about the white papers now. We don't want any third white paper. The two are enough. But the combination of those two, so that we have only one, we must finalize that in this term and in this administration, Minister. We have indicated many a time that there is a need for transformation in the CIDD Act, in the CDA. So even those two, if there's nothing that is being done, there's nothing then that we can say that transformation has been done. We are all on the sixth administration. People, especially black people, voted for the first time in South Africa in 1994. But if in 2020, we're still talking about transformation, it means that they only got the freedom to vote, nothing else. They will then have the economic freedom only when the transformation occurs. It has to occur in this department of public works and infrastructure. We can't still today talk about only white male-owned companies. We need to see many, many black-owned companies, women companies, youth companies, but black-owned companies. That will happen if those acts of CIDD and CPE, we amend them. Honorable Minister, thank you again. The time is really against us, but the issue, Minister, of the asset register, Honorable Shim even said we need a full day discussing that one. The issue of the asset register, that one, I think we really need to see it. Many issues, as they were presented by honorable members to you, would really like to see that. And some of them, will include them in our own report as the portfolio committee, as part of the recommendations. All that you have said, honorable members, will include as part of the recommendations of our own report as the portfolio committee. Thank you again, honorable minister and your team. Auditor General and the team, honorable members, for your frank, robust engagement on the report. Thank you again. Any announcements, Ms. Martinez?
There is nothing from my side, Chairperson, apart from the fact that we are considering and adopting our budget tomorrow at the committee at 9 o'clock. That should be all from my side, Chair.
Okay, thank you. A part of the engagement of today, we'll be going to that BRRR honorable members. So you have noted some of the issues, and then we'll put them as our recommendations. And again, thank you, honorable members. Please don't forget to log in. We have a parliamentary sitting at 2 this afternoon. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you
for those who have worked so hard. Much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.